You might want to hold your applause. Pastor Ron is at a meeting and asked me to give a message today. And this message actually took its seed months ago when I was outside taking a stroll. I like to walk at night because the stars are out and it reminds me of how little I am. And how great our God is. Amen. The message today that I have is the power of God. What a topic. How can I even begin? One evening I was walking and just thanking God for all the things that he's done for me. Which, by the way, if I started this moment, it would probably take eternity to do. Fortunately for me, I have accepted Jesus Christ as my Savior, and I'll have that eternity. As I was a very clear night when I was taking this stroll, and the stars were out, millions of them, much like that picture. But in the east, there was a sliver, just a small amount of darkness. And in that darkness, I could see a lightning storm. And I said to myself, I said, you know, God, you are so unbelievably awesome. Your power goes beyond my imagination. And I felt like he said in here, you haven't seen anything. Later that evening, I went into my study and I found this scripture, Revelation chapter 4, 5, and 6. From the throne came flashes of lightning, rumblings and peals of thunder. Before the throne, seven lamps were blazing. These are the seven spirits of God. Also, before the throne, there was what looked like a sea of glass, clear as crystal. Ladies and gentlemen, this is the throne of God. You and I, when we get into his presence, we will realize we have no concept of his power. None. No matter what kind of power we've seen on this earth, I don't care if it's been miracles, if you've seen things that you never thought God could do in your life, changing human beings, whole attitudes, saving people from the destiny of hell. You think that's power? You just wait. You just wait. This next scripture came that very evening. For as lightning comes from east, is visible even in the west, so will be the coming of the Son of Man. Immediately after the distress of those days, the sun will be darkened and the moon will not give its light. The stars will fall from the sky and the heavenly bodies will be shaken. At that time, the sign of the Son of Man will appear in the sky, and all the nations of the earth will mourn. They will see the Son of Man coming on the clouds of sky with great power and great glory. And he will send his angels with a loud trumpet call, and they will gather his elect from the four winds, from one end of the heavens to the other. Are you ready? It's happening. I don't know when. Christians for generations have been waiting, but I'm guaranteeing you that's going to happen. And from that description, it won't take a long time once it starts. like the lightning goes from the east to the west, like that lightning storm, boom. Jesus. And everything that man has created will matter not. There won't be one thing on this planet that any man can look to once you see the power of Christ come. If you did not love Jesus, serve Him as Lord and Savior in this life, you'll be horrified when this happens. Because all of a sudden, you will realize that everything you have made and counted on is gone. Boom, like that, disappears. There's two kinds of power that God has left us with. One is external. That means everything you see, touch, feel. We can look at planets. We can look at the universe. Not one person has an idea of the power of the universe. I've been reading about the universe for the last few months, actually years, because it intrigues me. And we're finding out that, of course, man cannot find the end of the universe. They just decide how big the universe is, and then they take another glimpse, and they find out it's huge. Oh, no. What we thought it was is a speck. And now we realize the universe is 10 times. No, no, no. 100 times. No, 1,000 times bigger than what we thought. And then there's things like black holes, where we know things just disappear. And they're not even sure. Maybe that's another universe. You walk through this universe, you walk through a black hole, and there's another universe. You see, the power of God is all around us, isn't it? Or you can take a human cell, put it under an electron microscope, and keep looking and looking and looking. Do you know there's people that dedicate their lives to just doing that? There are people who have dedicated their lives to just looking at DNA, the building blocks of humans, their whole lives. And you know what they find out? There's more to look at. I've spent my whole life looking for this, and now I realize there's more to it. The power of God. But more impressive to me than the external power of God is the internal. John 14. If you love me, you obey what I command. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another counselor to be with you forever, the Spirit of Truth. The world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he lives with you and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. This is a quote from Jesus Christ himself. It's interesting to me, because he says some things that maybe you and I need to consider. He says, if you love me, you will obey what I command. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another counselor to be with you forever. The Spirit of Truth. The Holy Spirit. Many times I think you and I overlook the Holy Spirit. We think about the Father, we think about the Son, Jesus Christ, but we overlook the third part. And to me, one of the most important parts That's the Holy Spirit. How many people have ever needed some counsel, some advice? You know, I remember I was invited to talk to a CEO of a hospital. He wanted me to come and work for him. For those who don't know, I had retired from an occupation of anesthesia, and I worked independently for some time. And this was a lucrative contract. I liked it. Looked good. As I looked through this contract that the CEO gave me from this hospital, I noticed there was something in there with just one sentence that bothered me a little bit. So I took the contract and I went home and I talked to my wife, and the CEO called me on the phone and said, "Well, you've had a day or so, what do you think?" And I said, "Well, I'm seeking counsel." Now, I know he thought I was seeking an attorney. And I got to say, I have nothing against attorneys, I don't think. But I was really seeking counsel. You see, Jesus knows everything, and I know nothing. Oh, by the way, he knows a lot more than you do, too. If you and I do not have a counselor that knows everything, and we do not use that power, come on, folks. Come on. You have a counselor Jesus has sent. His name is the Holy Spirit. He will direct you in everything. And he knows everything. That contract did not sit well with me because of that one sentence. And so I called him back and I said, "I'll tell you what, if you can take out that one sentence, I'll come to work for you." And he said, "I'll see what I can do." And he called me back the next day and said, "My legal team has told me that we can't remove that sentence." And I said, "Okay, you've given me my answer. I can't come to work for you." Now, I know someone else took that job. And I also know they signed the same contract that I would have offered. And some people would say, "Boy, you are stupid." I'm telling you something. I know the Lord did not want me to sign that contract. Now, for what reason? I'm not sure. It could be that the Lord knew if I would sign that contract sometime in the middle of the night when I was rushing to the hospital, I would be killed. And he's not done with me yet. It could be that, who knows, I might have been sued and the contract would have allowed that person to sue me. Who knows why he protected me or how he protected me or where he protected me from. But I know he protected me. That's all I need to know. You see, we don't understand why God speaks to us sometimes, but if you have the counselor, he will give you counsel. He will give you peace that passes all understanding. I don't care how smart the people are or how many teams of lawyers you have. I got news for you. If you don't have peace and you're seeking counsel from the counselor, you better not do it. No peace means don't do it. Am I making myself clear? Because we serve the Prince of Peace, Jesus Christ, the Prince of Peace. He will give you peace. John 14, 25, 26 says, All this I've spoken while still with you. But the counselor of the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and remind you of everything I have said to you. I don't know about you, but I need some reminding once in a while. You know, my tendency is I just forget. I will admit, as my wife has pointed out to me, sometimes it's willful. Sometimes I have selective memory. Sometimes I forget things that I just want to. But other times, I just don't recall it. I don't recall all the things that God has done for me. I don't recall the miracles I've seen. I don't recall that because you know I don't recall it? Because I start worrying. I become fearful. Isn't it crazy? God can do 1,000 things miraculously in your life, and the next thing that comes up scares you. Oh, by the way, we're all in good company. If you look through the Bible, we are not the only people. Just about any human flesh that you read about in that Bible, God did miraculous things for. And then those people were scared. They were worried about it. They concerned about it. They did not remember all the things that God had done for them. How much power God really has. I believe God has unlimited power to do anything that is His will. Isn't that what we pray in the Lord's Prayer? Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Isn't that what we say? And then when He starts doing His will, we start getting scared. You know why? Because sometimes our will is not matched up with His. And it scares us when He's doing things that we don't understand. You see, my reading of the Bible tells me a lot of things that I just don't understand. And if I had my way, I'd have done a lot different. There's a difference between God's justice and fairness. Did you know that? See, fairness is what you and I look for. Oh, that's not fair. Have you ever read that in Scripture? I haven't. That's not fair. You read the parables of Jesus, and He starts to talk about stewardship, where He takes stuff away from somebody and He gives it to the guy that's got more. Now that ain't fair. It's God's justice. You see, justice is much different than fairness. And maybe sometimes we just don't understand things that the Holy Spirit is doing, and because of that, we decide not to use Him. John 16, 13, 15 says, but when He, the Spirit of truth, comes, the Spirit of what? Oh, He's going to tell you the truth. There's been times when I didn't want to be told the truth. What about you? There are times when I just as soon be ignorant and do what I want. What about you? Is there times when you just don't want somebody to say, by the way, you're selfish? By the way, I'm just going to tell you, what you want is to heap upon yourself good things. And really, you should be giving good things away. You think you need something, but I'm telling you, you need nothing. but him. Sometimes we don't want to be told the truth. Maybe that's the reason we don't seek the Holy Spirit and get counsel. But when He, the Spirit of truth, comes, He will guide you into all truth. He will not speak on His own. He will speak only what He hears, and He will tell you what is yet to come. Some people don't want to know what the future holds. One thing I can guarantee you that it will hold if you look far enough into the future, and I don't care if you're 8, 80, or somewhere in between, the future will hold death in this body. But for the smart person, he's invested in Jesus, and he doesn't die. He lives forever. Oh, by the way, the people who don't invest in Jesus, they live forever too. But their eternity is completely different. The Holy Spirit has come to reveal to you and me today that the investment in Christ is the only thing that matters. If you don't accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you're in trouble. More trouble than you may know. I'm not here to scare you and to make any decision. I'm here to tell you the truth. That's what this said, by the way. It said, He will guide you into all truth. This is the truth. There is only two destinies for man. When you die, you either have heaven or you have hell. And I don't want anyone in this room or at the sound of my voice to choose the latter. He will bring glory to me by taking from what is mine and making it known to you. All that belongs to the Father is mine. That is why I said the Spirit will take from what is mine and make it known to you. Did you know that when you get counsel from the Holy Spirit, you're getting counsel from Jesus? Did you know that when you get counsel from the Holy Spirit, you get counsel from the Father? Did you know that when you praise Jesus, you're praising the Father and the Holy Spirit as well? Yes. You may not realize that, but they're all connected. Yes. Yes. Jesus said they're all connected. Yes. That you can't have one without having the other. That's the reason when I speak, and I sometimes even pray to the Holy Spirit. I hear my wife doing it all the time. Holy Spirit, give me wisdom. Where did I put this thing? You might think she's starting to forget, but I don't think so. I think she's just praying for wisdom. The truth is it's not a bad prayer. I've had routines in my life where I get up early and I'd pray. I like to pray it in the evening more now than I used to. I guess the getting up in the morning, I'm just too fatigued. I figure I'm sharper in the evening than I was in the morning. So, like I said, the walks at night is when I do most of my prayer. And I remember one time, I was traveling on Highway JJ, and for those people who know me, they probably remember the time when I had a little go-kart, as my wife would say. It was a two-seat little sports car called an MR2 Spider. And it was a little thing. And she wasn't riding it hardly at all. She says, if you hit something, you're dead. Now, that's up to you. You go ahead and drive if you want. Just make sure your insurance paid up. Because if you're going, you're not taking me with you. And if I'm going to be around after you're gone, I want to make sure I live good. Now, that was a comfort to me. One day, I was traveling, and I wasn't going that fast. Doesn't everybody say that? Yeah. Officer, that wasn't going to, no. But I was going probably 55, 60 miles an hour on Highway JJ, which is the speed limit is 55, and maybe I was going a little bit faster, but I really wasn't going 100 miles an hour like I shouldn't say that. Okay, I was going about 55, 60, and it was in the afternoon, broad daylight, and I was listening to some music on the radio, and all of a sudden, something inside me said, slow down. And I thought, it's broad daylight. What do I need to slow down? A second later, slow down. A little bit more stern, per se. So I did. I brought it down to 40 miles an hour. 100 yards in front of me, a whole bunch of deer just ran out. And I thought, thank you, Lord. Holy Spirit. You see, some people would say, oh, that was a coincidence. Listen, I've lived long enough to tell you when there are coincidences and where there aren't. That was no coincidence. You know, we pray all the time, at least I do. I say, Lord, protect my family, protect my loved ones, protect my friends. I even pray for you. Yeah, I know. No. Because you are my friends. You may not know it, but you're my family. That's what a church is all about. And I believe that God hears those prayers, and then when he does something about it, like gives you a flat tire, or he stops you from going somewhere because someone calls you and says, can I talk to you for a minute? And you waste time talking to a person. And all along, he's trying to save your life on this earth. He knows what tragedies are out there. He knows there's a herd of deer right around the corner. He knows there's a tractor trailer that's going to spin out of control. He knows. And we get upset that he answered our prayer. And he protected us. And he protected our children. You see, we don't get it. The counselor, Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit, and the Father are trying to keep us safe, blessed, contented, joyful. He's a good Father. He wants the best for us. But because our minds are so focused on here and now, and our own agendas, we don't even have time to ask him. We don't have even time to ask him. Luke 11. Which of your fathers, if your son asks for a fish, will give him a snake instead? Or if he asks for an egg, will give him a scorpion? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? Now, here he goes through all this thing about asking and receiving and goes through all this. And what's the whole gist of it all? Ask for the Holy Spirit. Wait, no. I want money. Don't you understand, God? Oh, he understands. He understands that if you were given $100 million today, but you died tonight, what good would it do you? He also understands that if you were given $100 million today, that you might do something stupid with that $100 million. He also knows that you probably wouldn't even tithe. After all, that's $10 million. See, it's one thing to tithe on $100 when it's $10. But if I gave you $100 million, that's $10 million. Now we're talking about money. Now we're talking about big money. You see. And he knows your heart. You need the Holy Spirit more than you need $100 million. I can guarantee it. I have reached a point in my life where I'm 100% content. I wonder if I went to people who were very wealthy and said, I can guarantee you I'll give you 100% contentment, but it's going to cost you. I wonder if they would be able to cough up big bucks. I think they would. Because there are millions and millions of people that have all the wealth in the world that are not content. Why am I content? Because, one, I'm getting old. And at first, you might think that's not a thing to be content about. I would rather be young. Well, being young is good if you have the counselor, because he'll show you contentment when you're young. But I can guarantee you, when you get older, the counselor gets closer. Because someday, you're going to walk from this life into the next. And you better be willing and ready and know. I'm not talking about maybe. I'm talking about know that when you're in the presence of the Father, that you're okay. That your name will be written in the Lamb's Book of Life. But I love what the Scriptures tell us about this counselor. Matthew 6:33 says, "But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own." Worry. I have been a Christian for over 30 years. And I have learned during that time that there was millions of things that I worried about. And I always would have them figured out in my brain. Oh, if I was going to do something, I would think about it all night long. And the next day, I'd have it all figured out how it was going to happen. I had it all figured out. Steve, I had it figured out. Why didn't it happen that way? After all, I didn't sleep at all. The only thing I ever got out of worry was worry. The only thing I ever got out of fear was more fear. I could not figure out anything. I never knew how people were going to react if I said this or did that. And so, in my mind, I'd have to have 10 different scenarios. And even in those 10 scenarios, they never played out. It was always have something else. I remember one time I was in a meeting with some people who were running the hospital, And I had my scenario all figured out what they were going to say. And I presented my case, and you know what they said? Okay. I hadn't figured that out. I didn't dream they'd say okay. I thought I have all these different reasons I was going to be okay, but they said okay. You mean I lost sleep? I could not focus on anything, including Jesus? Maybe worry is a thief. He steals time. Jesus knew that, obviously. And so that's the reason he puts this in Scripture. Do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. You and I have no idea, even if the sun will come up tomorrow. You better be right with Christ today. Philippians says, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. Something in there says thanksgiving. Are you thankful? Are you? Do you express it to the Lord? Do you ever thank Him? One of my, almost every time I go out on my walk and I look up in heaven, regardless of what I see in heaven, the moon, the stars, the clouds, whatever it is, I always try to say, Lord, when I come into your presence, step out of this life and into the next. Let it not be said of me that I was not thankful. I am thankful for everything you've ever done for me. And I know this, that everything he's done for me was good. Everything he's done for me is good. Oh, I may have had some battles with satanic forces, demonic forces on this earth. But, you know, when I read the scripture, I kind of remember about the place in Romans where it says that Jesus put Satan under his feet and he's crushing him. He is in the process of crushing the head of Satan. For you, by the way. He's already done it for him. He's doing it for you. And my God will meet all your needs according to his riches, to his glorious riches in Jesus Christ. There's a story of a man who had millions and millions of dollars. He had one son, and his wife had passed away. So the only heir he had was this one son. And the son said, Dad, they've drafted me into the war. Happened to be World War II. And his father said to him, Son, don't worry. I'm a multimillionaire and I have a lot of connections. I even know the president of the United States. No problem, son. You're not going to have to go. Just leave it up to me. But his son said something kind of curious. Don't do that. I need to go, Dad. I need to serve my country. So he did go, and tragically he died. He was killed. Years and years later, when the man became old, that millionaire, he passed away. And they had a giant estate sale. They were going to auction it all. And people thousands came to that auction. They wanted to see what it was all going to bring. They thought they could pick up some good deals. After all, the guy had a monster mansion. And so the auctioneer got up in front and said, "We're about to commence this auction. And the first item up for bid is this picture." And it was a big picture of the millionaire's son who had been killed. And he said, "What's that, my bid for this picture?" Out of the thousands of people, didn't hear a voice. And all of a sudden, way back was an elderly man who raised his hand and he said, "I'll give you $10. He says, "Okay, that's a good start. $10. What's the next bid?" Hush. Nobody wanted a picture. So the old man came up forward to pick up his picture, and the auctioneer said, "Can I ask your name?" And he told him. And he said, "And what's your occupation, sir?" And he said, "Well, you see, I was a servant for this old man for all his years, and I saw him grieve. And this is a picture of his son. And out of honor, I just want to remember his son." And the auctioneer said, "Now I'm going to read the millionaire's will." And he said, as he pulled up this piece of paper, he started to read. And he said, "The auction is now over, because whoever purchased my son's picture has now gotten my entire estate. Because you see, I loved with deep love my only son." And if anybody cares for my son, I will care for them. Do you get it? How much do you care about the Son of God? The inheritance is there. He loves his Son more than anything. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish, but shall have everlasting life. In John 33, and we're going to close with this, the evening meal was being served, and the devil had already prompted Judas Iscariot, son of Simon, to betray Jesus. Jesus knew that the Father had put all things under his power, and that he had come from God and now was returning to God. So he got up from the meal, took off his outer clothing, and wrapped a towel around his waist. After that, he poured water into a basin and began to wash his disciples' feet, drying them with the towel that was wrapped around him. When he had finished washing their feet, he put his clothes and returned to his place. "Do you understand what I have done for you?" he asked them. "You call me teacher and Lord, and rightly so, for that is what I am. Now that I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also should wash one another's feet. I have set you an example that you should do even as I have done for you. I tell you the truth, no servant is greater than his master, nor is a messenger greater than the one who sent him. Now that you know these things, you will be blessed if you do them." What's interesting to me about this scripture is that Jesus knew that the Father had put all things under His power. And what does He do? If you knew everything was under your power, wouldn't you want to tell somebody? You would think He would proclaim, "I am the King of the universe." You would think that He would say, "Don't you understand? My power is this so great, I could have all of you wiped out. I can call down legions of angels right this second, and everyone who is my enemy will bow." Oh, the Scripture does say that every knee will bow, by the way. And He knew that. He knew there would be a time set where every knee will bow. He didn't have to say it. He knows it's going to happen. So instead of saying anything, He takes and washes the feet of the people who are way beneath Him. These are guys who, just like you and me, they're no different. They had hopes, they had dreams, they had businesses. They left their businesses because they believed Jesus was special, but they had no concept of His power. They started to get it a little bit after he saw blind people see, lame people walk. They started to get it a little bit when they saw Lazarus come out of the grave. They started to understand it a little bit, but why would a man who has that kind of power wash your feet? Because He knew that you and I would be sitting here today reading that scripture. And the most powerful thing on this planet, is a servant. A servant for Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Jesus, You are the most powerful thing. You, Your Father, and the Holy Spirit have the all power in the universe. At Your direction, life began. At Your direction, life will end on this planet. But eternal life will never end for those people who believe in You. They will always be in Your presence. And they will come back to a new earth that You will establish. If you don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, if you don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Lord, I'd just like you to raise your hand and just up and down real quick. I'm just going to pray for you. I will not embarrass you. You can come and see me after the service, and we'll pray together. Just up and down. If you're a Christian and you think, you know what? Maybe I've been seeking counsel from the wrong place. Maybe I need more power in my life through the Holy Spirit. I will pray with you as you come down as a group that the Holy Spirit will fall upon this place and give you an extra anointing of power in your life. I think that's the reason the Lord had me give this message, to remind us of the power of Jesus Christ through the Holy Spirit. If you're one of those people who would say, you know what, I need that kind of power. I need that kind of power to pray for my family. I need that kind of power to open my eyes to what the Lord is really doing. got nothing to do with me or this church. That's you.